This is Hope Radio on Moose FM, a non-denominational Christian celebration of life in song, spirit, and word. Here's Tim Rout.
Welcome to Hope Radio. Today, as we wrap up John chapter 5, we see the Lord Jesus offering up his credentials, as it were, demonstrating why we should believe him and revealing why his enemies did not. May it please God, as we study his word today, to write it on our hearts and change us from within. Now, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of worship and edification. That you would be glorified in us, we pray, through Jesus your Son. Amen. David Crowder kicking us off, All My Hope Is in Jesus, on Hope Radio.
I've been held by the Savior. I've felt fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return. In Jesus, thank God the yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. And I've been washed by the blood. I'm no stranger to the prison. I've worn shackles and chains, but I've been freed and forgiven. Yes, I have. I'm not going back. I'll never be the same. That's why I sing. All my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday's gone. All my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. There's a kind breaks a man, break him down to his knees. God, I've been broken more than a time or two. Yes, Lord, then he picked me up and showed me what it means to be a man. Come on and sing. All my hope is in. Thank God my yesterday's gone. Yes, all my sins are forgiven. I've been washed by the blood. Come on and sing. All my hope is in.
Tim Rout, opening hearts and minds to faith and joy on Moose FM.
John chapter 5, verses 30 through 47. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen. And you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? There are a great many people in this world who make much of themselves. The internet is full of them. They call themselves influencers. But on what basis? What makes them worth listening to? Often they draw viewership through mere entertainment. They are self-established, self-aggrandizing. But as we'll see in today's text, those who crave the praises of men often don't desire the glory that comes from God alone. Verse 30 again, I can do nothing on my own, Jesus said. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. In the flow of John chapter 5, the Lord has just explained that the new covenant of salvation by faith in him was at that time dawning, such that the spiritually dead would hear the voice of the Son of God and live. We spent some time examining the verb to hear and how the Bible distinguishes this from mere listening. Everyone listened, but not everyone heard. When Jesus says he can do nothing on his own, he is speaking to the Trinitarian nature of the gospel. The Father decrees salvation, the Son dies to pay for it, the Spirit imparts eternal life to all who will believe. Some have wrongly concluded that the Lord here denies his divine authority. But that's nonsense. He's merely pointing out what the passage above clearly shows. Salvation is a work of the whole Godhead, not just one of the three divine persons. Also, and we'll be coming back to this a little later, you'll note Jesus authenticates his judgment ministry on the basis that he is not seeking his own will, but the will of the Father who sent him. You'll note he's making distinction between his human will and his divine will. Jesus is the God-man. He has two natures and two distinct wills to go along with these. We see something similar in Gethsemane, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, where he prays, "Not my will, but yours be done." Verse 31, "If I alone bear witness of myself, my testimony is not true." My friend, you live in a world filled with fools who make much of themselves. By definition, such a person is a liar. He who testifies to his own worth, his own authority, without substantive corroboration, has neither worth nor authority. Jesus bore witness to himself, yes, but not alone. Verse 32, "There is one who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true." The other witness, as suggested in the previous verses, is in fact God the Father. It's a no-brainer that God's witness is true. In fact, some early manuscripts of the Greek New Testament read, "And you know that the testimony he bears is true." Point being, if any person of the Trinity vouches for you, you're golden. Verses 33 and 34, "You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved." Even John the Baptist, a mere man, bore witness of Jesus' messiahship. It's not that John's testimony established that messiahship or informed the Lord's mission, but because Jesus' audience had listened to John. Remember, the Lord here is answering his enemies, the Jewish religious authorities. They knew and had questioned John about Jesus, and noticed that Jesus Christ's enemies, even these enemies, could be saved, that you may be saved. Verse 35, "He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." While John the Baptist was not himself a Pharisee, he was a conservative theologian nonetheless. And when he first appeared on the scene, his fiery rhetoric and dynamic preaching style seemed quite impressive to many of the religious elites. But righteous preachers, those who will not compromise on the Word of God, no matter the consequences, will soon enough make enemies of the establishment. I've seen this many times in my pastoral career. A new minister shows up and starts expounding the scriptures like a whirlwind, and they clap and they smile and they congratulate him at the door. But he's a faithful expositor, and one day, since he preaches the whole counsel of God, he walks them through a passage that touches a tender spot, and boom, they're calling for a vote of confidence. Ironically, even though the Pharisees and others initially saw value in John's ministry, even though they later rejected him, they were more willing to consider his testimony valid than the witness of the Father himself. That's the nature of a reprobate's heart. Verse 36, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me." As we've mentioned in previous weeks, signs and wonders are always done for a reason. Here, Jesus explains that reason. These miraculous works proved that he spoke with God's authority. Notice, every miracle was given to the Son by the Father. These weren't random, they weren't happenstance occurrences. They were designed, the Lord's heavenly credentials. Verses 37 and 38, "And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent." But Jesus is speaking to the religious elites, the leaders whom the people thought spoke exclusively for God. Yet you'll notice the Lord unveils the truth. They don't know God. They are not saved. They do not hear the Father, nor have they ever. They do not see him, nor have they ever. They do not possess his word internally because they do not believe in the Son of God, the one whom the Father has sent. Holding religious office, making strong theological affirmations, attending the right religious services, wearing the right religious clothing, hanging in the right religious social circles, none of that saves you. You need to have God's word internalized. And remember, Jesus is the word incarnate. You need to have him living on the inside by his spirit. And how can we tell if someone has the word of God in them truly? Well, they believe in the one whom the Father has sent. And just in case the metaphors are getting to be a little bit much for you, allow me to offer a brief explanation. Because the Lord's engaging in a bit of wordplay here. Jesus is the eternal Word of God come in the flesh, John 1:1. And yet, this term Word also refers to the Bible. For example, John 17:17. So put another way, If you don't have Jesus in you, then you don't have the Bible in you either. You can read it all you like, memorize whole books of the thing, if you please. But if Jesus isn't in you, none of that can save you. Which is the point of verses 39 and 40. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. The Scriptures don't save. The Scriptures lead you to the Savior and induce in you saving faith. The law part of the Bible shows you your need to be rescued from sin, Galatians 3:24. The grace part of the Bible shows you who Jesus is and what he has done, which is the point of this text, so that you might come to him by faith and be set free from your transgressions and their hellish penalty. The religious elites of Jesus' day, like many in our time, believed their own efforts, their own studious labors could earn them salvation. But without the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, without the internal transformation that can be brought about by God alone, none of those efforts will yield fruit. Verse 41, I do not receive glory from people. This verse is fairly straightforward, though it has at times caused some believers a little bit of confusion. After all, the primary reason we were created was to bring glory to God, Isaiah 43:7. So how is it that in this case Jesus says, it ain't so? Well, that's not what he's saying at all. The Lord is pointing out that his glory is not dependent on us nor generated by us. On the contrary, we are created by God to reflect his glory back to him like a mirror. He originates all things. It's his glory. He doesn't get it from us. Brother, God loves you, he wants you, he enjoys you, and will forevermore. But be sure, he doesn't need you. Not for one second. We're the ones who need him. Verse 42, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. God's love, the Greek word is agape, it refers to a mode of behavior, not an emotion. God's love causes internal change that manifests in external behavior. No change, no love. The Jewish religious leadership had hard, arrogant hearts that were concerned first and foremost with their own power and prestige. Along comes the Messiah and threatens that? Kaboom! They show their true colors. Not holy, not obedient to God's law, not true followers of Yahweh. The Bible is full of synonyms for saved persons. Here's one of them. Someone who has the love of God in him. Verse 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. Brother, if it's not obvious, this verse has serious implications for us. By what authority do you presume to stand and preach the gospel to your community? I don't see a PhD after your name. You aren't certified by the board. You're not licensed by the state. What gives you the right to homeschool your children? What makes you think you know better than the Ministry of Health what medical treatments you and your family should receive? By what authority? Well, by God's authority, actually, the highest authority there is, as expressed and explained in the Scriptures. Jesus came in the Father's name, and the religious elites rejected him. If someone came in his own name, touting his own credentials, that would have impressed them. But Jesus came in his Father's name. And we, believer, come in Jesus' name with his book, which is our sole authority. And notice that phrase, you do not receive me. This language is similar to what we saw in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He, Jesus, came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So the Jewish leadership would not receive Christ, ergo they were not, by definition, children of God. They were not saved, not born from above, not full of the Father's love. And it showed. Verse 44, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Have you ever watched the Oscars or the AFI Lifetime Achievement Awards? People pleasing. It's sin. Desiring and steeping in the praises of man is evidence, according to Jesus, that you have no real interest in the glory that comes from the only God. Again, please note, the Bible is entirely monotheistic. Human praise is shallow and deceptive and meaningless. But if a man stands condemned before the world and glorified before God, he is righteous in every respect. Such a man has been born again. He has come to know personally the one true way to God, Jesus the Son. Did you know that early Christians described themselves like that, followers of the way? And, my friend, if it angers you that the Bible says there is only one way to God, perhaps you should ask, why should there be even one way? The Scriptures make it clear. You are a condemned sinner, justly sentenced to everlasting damnation. You deserve hell. The fact that God, in His mercy, has opened a way, one way, the narrow way for any person who will repent and believe on His Son to be forgiven and made right with Him. That is pure grace. Those who seek the praise of men show that they do not possess that grace. Verse 45, do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. This harkens back to John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, where we're told that the Son did not come to condemn the world, because the unbelieving world stands condemned already. Who then accuses the reprobate? Moses, to whom the Lord gave His law. This is the primary function of God's law under the New Covenant, to show people their sin. Those who have yet to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ remain in bondage under the condemnation of the law. That is to say, Moses condemns them. This was especially wounding to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, who considered themselves to be experts in that law, but were in fact doomed by it. Then finally, verses 46 and 47, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? My friend, if you say that you hold the Bible in high esteem, but you do not believe in Jesus, you're a liar. You hold the Bible in no esteem. If you claim to follow Yahweh as His truest servant, but will not believe in Yahweh the Son, you're kidding yourself, and you remain dead in your trespasses and sins. If it's not ridiculously clear, let me say it again. The whole Bible is about Jesus. The law of Moses, that's Genesis through Deuteronomy, is about Jesus. The prophets, about Jesus. The wisdom literature, about Jesus. The Bible, Old Testament and New, is all about the Son of God. Which means while you're studying through the Old Covenant, if you can't see Him there, you're reading it wrong. The Lord held these Old Testament scholars, PhD experts, remember, responsible for what they missed in Moses. By rejecting the Messiah, they proved that they didn't believe Moses at all. If you believe the Bible, you will believe in the biblical Jesus and turn from your sins and follow Him all of your days, because the identity and character of the triune God is in lockstep with His written word. Which means, by the way, to reject God's word is to reject God. Well, there we go. That's John chapter 5. The Lord of the Sabbath, creator and healer, preached and performed many signs, proving His oft-stated identity not only as the Son of God, but as God the Son, our Messiah. The more Jesus taught the truth, the more His enemies sought to kill Him. And brother, they'll do the same to us. But remember, our King has a marvelous method for winning, and it often involves losing. at least from a human perspective. Christ died, but he rose again, seemingly defeated, yet in fact had won the most profound victory ever. So go ahead and stand up for Jesus. And yes, it's going to cost you. But that cost is not evidence of your failure, but of the Lord's triumph through you. Our Father and Master, we bow the knee to your Son. We call upon his name. We believe your scriptures. We love your law. We desire your holiness and the glory that comes only from you. Let the world hate us, because you love us, and as a consequence, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Casting Crowns, playing us out, the voice of truth on Hope Radio.
Oh, what I would do to have the kind of faith it takes to climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Oh, what I would do to have the kind of strength it takes to stand before a giant with just a sling and a stone, surrounded by the sound of a thousand warriors shaking in their armor, wishing they'd have had the strength to stand. But the giant's calling out my name and he laughs at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. The giant keeps on telling me time and time again, boy, you'll never win, you'll never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth.
But the stone was just the right size to put the giant on the ground. And the waves, they don't seem so high on top of them looking down. I'll soar.
I will listen and believe. I will listen.
of truth.
Tim Rapp has served as a Christian pastor for more than 20 years. Listen every Sunday at 10 a.m. for more Hope Radio, a celebration of life in song, spirit, and word on Moose FM.